Samuel, and this book has been such a blessing. It's amazing. Oh, thank you. It's amazing. it's amazing how you can read the word of the Lord once or twice, and then the Holy Spirit takes you on a journey, praise the Lord, through some nuggets in the word of the Lord. And I'm just falling in love with the Bible characters, and just to put myself in their shoes and to see how precious it is for when we serve the Lord. And one of the characters that I've been studying is David. As you all know, David was a son of Jesse, and he was the least of his family. And I just admire David, you know, in spite of all the things that he did, you know, and the things that we read. Sometimes, we know, we tend to magnify the wrongs that somebody has done. But I believe that God sometimes wants us to really get focused on the things that that the good that sometimes that come out of us when we serve the Lord. Amen. And we'll be examining his life a little bit, just talking about him. And I want us to turn our Bibles into the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 9. And I'm going to ask Sammy to come and read here for me. Chapter 9, 2 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel, of course, is after the book of 1 Samuel. And that book is also, the book behind that is the book of Ruth. So just in case you wonder where that, and actually before the book of Ruth, I think this, you can flip up over, you find Judges. So if you're just around flipping your Bible to Judges, just keep on going. You'll find 2 Samuel there, chapter number 9. Sammy, come and read for me. that whole verse, chapter, read up to verse number 13.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm reading from the King James Version, and we read, "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face, and he did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king said, called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy son and thy servant shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruit, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micha, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame on both his feet. Amen.
Thank you, Sammy. God bless you. Father, we thank you. We bless you for this text that we have just read, Lord, I pray that even as we begin to harvest some nuggets out of it, I pray even as we travel with your spirit, Lord, help us, Lord, even to gain understanding, Lord, into who you have called us even unto and who we are to you. And thank you, Heavenly Father, even for when we forget the position that you've given us, Lord, in yourself, that continuously we shall be reminded that we are more than conquerors. We are sons and daughters of the kingdom, and that nothing shall you withhold to them that love you. I thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I take captive every mind in the name of Jesus. I take captive of my of every wandering spirit in here. Lord, I pray that we shall be subject to the Holy Spirit. May you speak to every individual heart here today in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father, as you use my mouth, Lord, I decline as you ascend in my life. I humble myself before you, Lord Jesus, that you may speak to us today that which you have laid in our spirits and that which you have prepared for your people today, Lord. I humble myself, dear Lord, even as you begin to speak to us, O God, this time in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we bless you. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. And somebody who loves the Lord, say a big amen. 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 Hallelujah. I want you to turn to your neighbor. I want you to high five them. Tell them Jesus is good. Smile at them and tell them Jesus loves you as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to bring you to speed about the text that is just before us here today. Now, some of us, you know, maybe you never heard about Mephibosheth. And by the way, that name is a tongue twister because sometimes I don't know how to say it. So if I make a mistake, a blunder, just excuse me because I know you are in the same boat with me. Can you say Mephibosheth three times? Quickly. Okay, I heard who said Mephibosheth. It's amazing how difficult names they had, you know, in those days. Mephibosheth. Glory to Jesus. Yeah, let's call him Mephi. Thank you, Purity. We'll call him Mephi. Mephi, brother Mephi. Anyway, let me bring you to speed now. We got to understand how this story comes into being. And I want to just go back a little bit to bring you how the whole scenario came. And we find that Samuel is born in the land of Israel, and God has anointed him to become a prophet and a king for Israel. Now, Samuel was called as a tender boy. Most of you know the story about Hannah and Elkanah, how Hannah was barren without a child, and they went to Shiloh every year to give sacrifices unto the Lord. And you remember the story. I don't even want to go back there to, you know, how Hannah labored, you know, with sorrow before the Lord because her womb was closed, and how God blesses her with a child. And as the Lord blesses her with a child, she promises the Lord that, you know what, if you give me a son, I'm going to dedicate him into the house of the Lord, and he's going to serve you, you know, he's going to serve you all the days of his life. And Samuel is born, and he is serving in the courts of the Lord. And just from a tender age, you know, the Lord begins to call Samuel. And you remember the times when he called Samuel in his sleep, and he thought that the priest of the house, Eli, was calling on him. And he went back and forth to Eli, saying, "Hear thine servant speak." And he would say, "I never called you." And you know, after the third time, after the Lord had called Samuel, he went back to Eli, and Eli tells him, "I think the Lord is communicating with this boy." And you know, Samuel grows up, and the Lord is with favor. There's one thing that I love about what God talked about Samuel. He says that none of his word would go to waste. And when I read that in the first book of Samuel, I can't remember the chapter, that the Lord, that he grew up with favor and with the Lord, and none of his words were wasted. Praise the Lord. That really challenged me, and I said, God, I wanna be a man of God. I wanna be, even, you know, sometimes we call pastors or men who are, or bishops, we call them the men of God, but I want to be one who is after God. the Lord's heart so that none of my words will fall on the ground. And he grew out with favor with the Lord. Praise be to God. Grew up with favor with the Lord. And he was judged to all Israel and men loved him. But it came a time, you know, all the nations that surrounded Israel, they were being ruled by a king. And so they demanded, Israel said, oh, we are tired. You know, we don't want just you to be just a judge over us. We don't want just you for you to just be a prophet and prophesying with other prophets. We just need a king. And this thing displeased the Lord. And when they demanded a king, he went, the prophet of the Lord, Samuel, went before the Lord. And he was made inquiry of the Lord. And the Lord told him, just do as they have requested. Because they are not satisfied with what I have given them. They are so myopic. They have been so blinded by their surroundings. And now they are demanding a king. And there was a man who was very handsome, tall. The Bible says that Saul was tall and handsome. And when they looked at him, he had all the personalities, you know, of one who would be a king of Israel. And they told, when they demanded that they wanted a king, and Saul was the man, and the Lord said, okay, give them what they want. But you know what? God's heart, the heart of Saul was far from the Lord. And he did things that were impeccable, things that did not please the Lord. In fact, at certain points, he consulted the mediums and the witches, and he did things that were really not in line with what God expected of a king. But you know what? The children of Israel cried unto Samuel, the prophet of the day, and they told him, give us a king. And the Lord continued and gave them the go-ahead. And he told them, yeah, go ahead and give them what they have demanded. And just because of this one thing, that they cried out and they dishonored the prophet that the Lord had given them, he told Samuel, you need to tell the children of Israel that this man is going to make their sons and daughters his slaves. Praise be to God. And this is exactly what happened. Even as he grew up, you know, he fought he fought the Philistines, and God was with him in the beginning days, because, you know, he was ruling over his people. But I mean, it got to a point whereby God did not was really against Saul, and he had rejected him. And then there was a man, and the Lord spoke to Samuel, and he told Samuel, I've chosen a man who is after my own heart. And that is when Samuel is sent out to the house of Jesse. And when he goes to the house of Jesse, you know, he lines them up, and he is ready to anoint the next king of Israel. And you remember the story, you know, how everybody lined up, and when Samuel saw the first son of Jesse, he was really intrigued by his physique, and he was really intrigued by the way he looked, and he was strong, he had big muscles, and he had all the qualities that we know of a person who would become a king. And I think I was telling you this other the last time when I was speaking to you, and I was telling, when he saw Eliab, this is exactly what Samuel said. He said, oh, behold, stands here the anointed of the Lord. And the Lord told him, not so quick, because I don't look men the way men look at other men, but I look at the heart. Praise the Lord. And you're so glad that God doesn't really, you know, the Lord doesn't really look at the strong or the mighty or the people with the most money so that he can use them for his own purpose. The Lord is not a respecter of any person. Praise be to God. And he doesn't look at the stature. He doesn't look at the outward physical appearance as we do. Many human beings today, I included, we are sometimes look at a person and we are able to make judgments upon those people based on how they seem to us. But that's not how God works out his situations. When he looks at a man, he goes beyond the natural things that we know. He goes beyond the physical things that we know. And he looks at the heart. Now, when they were all lined up, he looked at every single one of them after the Lord spoke to Samuel, and he was saying, not the one, not this one, not this one, not this one. But there was one that was not with them, and he was in the fields looking after his father's sheep, and his name was David. Now, there's something that I would like us to learn about David that I don't know what it does. The Bible really doesn't really critically tell us that, you know, whether David had some time with his daddy, sitting him down to teach him about the word of the Lord. But there's something that comes out of the pages of the Bible when we read about David. You know, when he is presented with a case whereby he is, you know, there's this gigantic personality from the Philistine camp who had come to come against the armies of the Lord in the name of Goliath. There's something that he speaks about his life that really challenges me. He says that, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who has come to look down upon the armies of Israel, the armies of the Lord? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who has decided to come and blaspheme the name of the Lord in Israel? And he said, this is what he said, and that really, really takes me to think about David. He says, when I was in the field, I saw a lion, you know, that came to take a lamb, and I chased it, and I killed it. When I was in the field, I saw a bear. And when it came to take one of my father's lamb, I chased it, and I struck it, and I killed it. And I was thinking, let me ask you, and I was thinking about this. Now, who among us is here who dare even face a lion? And I remember the case when we went just to the zoo. You know, my wife and I had some children many, many years ago. And I don't know whether I told you this story. I tell you so many stories. We went to the zoo, and you know, the way you're just, you know, watching the monkeys, and you're watching the animals in the zoo, and you're just mesmerized by the size of these big animals, especially when they are nearby. And we just happened to be passing by the lion cage, and let me tell you, this male lion, I don't know what it was thinking. It just produced a big roar, and you could just be, you know, you could just feel it. You could hear the vibration just being sent through your body. And let me tell you, we were not in the zoo, I think, for so long, and after that lion made that roar, my wife told me, I think it is time to go home. It is time that we need to go home right now. And guess you what? That's exactly what we did. We had to leave the zoo and we had to go home because you could not withstand the role of a lion. And I was thinking about David as a youngster. Think about this. David as a youngster had the courage and the ability to face a lion. He had the courage and the propensity to face a bear and strike it, and it died. And he said, I never fought those animals by my strength. But he said this, the Lord who was able to deliver me from the paws of the lion, the Lord who was able to deliver me from the paws of the bear, is still the Lord who is going to enable me fight and kill this giant. Praise the Lord. Now, when I looked at that, I saw a young man who loved God. You know, and it looked like among the sons of Jesse, the fact that he was the last born, and I know maybe, you know, he was the youngster, he could have been probably the reason why he was sent out to the field. But I also thought that maybe he could have been the most neglected, or just given the little chores, or the chores that didn't seem like they were, you know, well to be done by any one of those sons. And he was delegated to, you know, the only thing that he would be able to do would be to take care of his father's sheep. But even as he took care of his father's sheep, the Lord was with David. He loved the Lord. In fact, the Bible says elsewhere that when King Saul, when he comes to the picture, and I know I'm going ahead of myself, when the spirit from the Lord came upon King Saul, and he had this harshness and he had this bitterness within him, David was the one who was called to come and play the harp for him. He was used to playing the harp for the Lord in the fields. Praise the Lord. This is a man who was a praiser. This is a man who knew how to worship God. And the thing that I really admire about David when he comes to the forefront is how he was determined to trust and to hope in the Lord. Praise be to God. regardless of his stature in his family, regardless of how they viewed at him, regardless of how they looked at him, there was one thing that came out so clearly from David's life, that he really honored and loved God with the whole of his heart. Praise be to God. And when he comes into the scene and he is anointed as king of Israel, he was still a youngster. He was still a youngster. And actually, his appointment was made even before. He was anointed before his appointment. Praise be to God. He was already anointed soon to be appointed as king because King Saul was still king over Israel. And when King Saul saw what David had done by killing this Philistine Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, he was really wondering, he really wondered whose son it was. And he brought him closer. And the Bible says that he loved David just because the Lord walked with him. Don't you love that? That people would love you just because the Lord is walking with you. I would love to be in a fellowship whereby people love me or people care about me just because of how God is walking with me. Praise be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And he was drawn to King Saul's kingdom or into the palace just because he walked with God. Now, this is now where Jonathan comes in. Jonathan was a child, was a son to King Saul. Praise be to God. The Bible says that when David came into the palace and when they set eye to each other, Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, loved just out of nothing, out of nowhere. He just loved David as much as he loved his soul. That's what the Bible says. That Jonathan loved David as much as he loved his soul. They became so good. They became so great buddies. They became so great buddies. Actually, their friendship even went beyond friendship to a point whereby they wrote down a covenant that we shall be friends forever. You know, that even should anything happen to any one of us, huh? If anything happens to any one of us, you shall take care of my family and I will take care of my family. Now, King Saul, even as the Lord walked with David and with favor, and he moved and he fought the Philistines and he brought great victories to the camp of the Israelites, the spirit of Saul began to detest David and started to become envious, and he wanted to kill him. In fact, in many instances, when the spirit from the Lord came over Saul, he had a spear in his head and he was ready to kill David. That's what really astonished me, how people can react. Here is a man who is walking with God, and it is because of him that you're getting the victories that you're getting at this point. And you have a son that is in love with him. You're so much in a covenant, you know. And now there's this spirit that's from the Lord that has determined to kill this man called David. And as he was playing the harp, unawares what was going on in his head, King Saul was planning to kill David. And there was one time when he sent out messengers and he said, I want you to go fetch out for David because I want to kill him because I see him as a threat. Oh, and I was looking at the world today and I was saying how this is very, very common when you begin to rise up, even in a little bit financially, people begin to look at you and they begin to say, whoa. They either hate you, they either don't want to talk to you, they either want to go underneath you and become a mole that is eating you up just because the favor of the Lord is upon you. These things didn't happen just yesterday. It happened long, long time ago. And Jonathan, because they were in covenant, he would come to David and tell David, David, you need to run away because my father has plotted to kill you. You know? He would come and tell him, oh, you know what? He has planned to kill you. You need to get out of here. You need to go into hiding. And as they continued, the David's life was preserved by the Lord. And when I looked into the life of David and I looked at him, even when he was king, there were so many wars and battles, kind of like a civil war in Israel between the Israelites and the Philistines. At one time, the fight was so severe, and the Lord had detested this guy. He was actually had already rejected Saul. And he was just waiting for his time to be killed, and he would move, and give way for David. The battle became so intensified in a place called Gilba, and Jonathan and his father Saul were killed in battle. And this is where now we come to this scripture, 2 Samuel chapter number 9. And the Bible talks about Mephi, as we said we are going to call him, Mephibosheth, that he was a son to Jonathan. And the Bible tells us some things concerning Mephibosheth. The Bible tells us that he was lame, and he had a nurse taking care of him. Now, this is what used to happen in those days. When a monarch or a kingdom would be exterminated, or if it came to, like for example, if a regime came to an end, the incoming regime would make sure that everybody that belonged to the former regime were killed, because there was a propensity for them to rise up to become to take over the kingdom, or to come and fight the incoming kingdom. So they made sure that everybody who belonged, who was kindred to the king, was exterminated. And this is exactly what used to happen. And so when they realized, when they had news that King Saul and Jonathan, his son, were killed in battle, everybody that belonged to Saul took to their heels, because they knew that King David was soon to be anointed, or soon to be appointed as the king of Israel. And so they took off. The Bible says that they took off with his nurse. Now, I want you to know, I want you to picture out how Mephibosheth was in the palace. He was surrounded by royalty. You know, everything he needed was supplied for. Are you listening to me? He knew royalty, and he knew how to walk. And the places that he had good food, he had good people serving him. Whatever he demanded, even though he was a kid, everything was provided for. But now his grandfather has been killed. His father has died in battle. And they know exactly what normally happens when a regime has been exterminated, when a regime has come to the end, that the incoming regime makes sure that everybody that belonged to the former regime were killed. And so this nurse was taking care of Mephibosheth, took to the hills, and he was running away to protect this young man that he was taking care of. And as they were running away, the Bible says that he fell down, and the chariots came over him, and he injured his back, and he was lame, and he could not even walk. She tried to raise him up so that he could walk, but he could not walk. And they were running, and they went to another country called Lodebar. Now, Lodebar, the meaning of Lodebar, it means a place of no bread. A place of no bread. In other words, this is a place that was dry. He was running away from King David. He didn't even want to be recognized. He didn't even want David to know that he was alive, because he feared for his life. And I want you to see how he came down from royalty, and now he is going into a foreign land where the place was dry and where he didn't even know anybody. Actually, he was welcomed into somebody's house. He was living in somebody's house, in somebody's home. Somebody who had known royalty. Somebody who had known everything. His servants all surrounding him. Now he is in a place of no abode. He actually was a man of little means. He couldn't even walk. He was inhibited. He could not even walk or do anything for himself. But I thank God that his nurse kept taking care of him. Praise be to God. As you look into the whole of this picture, I'd like to examine exactly what happened to mankind. Because when God created Adam and Eve into the Garden of Eden, he put him in the cool, nice garden to take care of. And it was not until when man disobeyed God, but God disbanded him from the garden, and the fellowship was discontinued and was cut off. A relationship existed between Adam and God and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And so he is rejected, and he is taken away from his presence. The ground is cast on their sake, and there are certain things that the Lord speaks to man that would happen because of him, of his disobedience to him. And later we find Jesus coming into the picture. After God had tried so many things to restore man back unto himself, send out the prophets, and the man killed all the prophets. And finally, Jesus, the Son, the only begotten Son of God, is sent on earth to come and redeem us and take us back unto the Father. Praise the Lord. Man knew royalty. He knew holy surroundings in the garden. God would come and walk in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. And suddenly, disobedience comes on the fall, and so he is disconnected from God. And then it is not until Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, comes into the picture. See, God is so loving. The Bible says that we've been created in the image and in the likeness of God. You have royalty, breed, and genes within you. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter how far you have fallen, because when we were disconnected from God, the Bible says that Jesus was God in himself. So he reached out so deeply to come and pick him that had royalty in himself. Praise the Lord. Him that was created in the image and the likeness of God. I don't care what men would call me. I don't care what people would look at me and just make out a judgment concerning me. But I know that I have a blood of royalty within me. Praise God. And you will never be wasted away. You will never be taken away captive by the devil. But God will continually try to reach you out. And that is exactly what he did to human race when he sent out Jesus. And Jesus went to the cross and died on that old rugged cross so that fellowship which was originally there would be restored back. Praise the Lord. And that's why when we sing songs like "I exalt the Lord and I bless the name of the Lord," I feel in my heart that this ought to come from the bottom of my belly. When I know I have royalty blood, I'm singing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Him who called me out of sin. Him who called me out of a quagmire of clay. And I could not make any movements. I was lame and incapacitated. But he came and restored that fellowship. And I can afford now to raise up my hand. Open up my mouth uninhibited and praise him who came to deliver me. Glory be to Jesus. I don't know what situation that you have been in. And I don't know, when we talk about lame, when we talk about Mephibosheth, and he was taken into Lodibar, a place that had no bread. It took the one who was the bread of life to come and found me lame and incapacitated, and I didn't have any hope. Praise be to God. Reached out to me and picked me up and said, "You know what? I have seen your incapacitation, but when I look at you keenly, I see royalty blood in you. And I'm going to fish you out. And I'm going to clean you out. Because I'm the bread of life. You might be in a place where there's no bread. Even the identity of the place that you are in may not have any significance. And it may be a dry place. But I have come because I have seen royalty blood in you." And when Mephibosheth was in that land, he was desolate. And he was in a place of hiding. Let me tell you, church. Sometimes trouble will take you to places whereby you don't want to be recognized. You don't want anybody to know where you are. Poverty is a dangerous thing, because when poverty strikes, you want to be in a secluded place because you think at that point that no one cares about you. Problems are dangerous because sometimes when they come, they might seclude you to a place whereby you are lonely, and all that you think is that God is against me, and all that you think is that if you hear anybody speaking anything about anybody, you have a tendency to call up and think that, you know, everybody is against you. But there's one thing that I love about David. I love David, number one, for his consistency. that even when he didn't have much, that even when he was the least, maybe among his family, he loved God. And I was asking God, God, is there going to be a man? Is there going to be a woman? Even after you have blessed him so much that he will remember the days of his youth. He will remember how he walked with you. And he will still go back to those days even when he had plenty. Now, I want you to know that David was the king of Israel. He was a busy man, right? He had all these things that he had to articulate. He had ministers maybe to follow. He has a government that he had to take care of. And he had so many things, but he remembered. He went back to remember the covenant that he had written down with Jonathan, the son of Saul. Then in spite of how his father, of how Jonathan's father, King Saul, was against David, he regarded less anything that King Saul had ever done. But he remembered his friend Jonathan. And he remembered the covenant. And he remembered how Jonathan showed him favor even when he was in danger zone, when he was almost killed. And when every member, and when there seemed not to be anybody within Israel at the time who was connected to Saul, because either they were killed by the current regime, maybe the armies of the current regime killed them, David had this thought. And he said, is there anybody within Israel that is keen to Jonathan that he may come and that I may show him favor? Glory be to Jesus. Let me tell you, that challenges me because I love the consistency of David. Are we going to be people when God has blessed you so much that even you remember how we used to serve God, how we used to walk? We used to never have even a car to go to church. You remember those days? I know not anybody here maybe was born, maybe a few of us could have been born in a rich family and you had a family car and you had everything going for you so that you've never known poverty. Glory be to God and thank God for you, for the things that he has done for you. But I know here there are some people who have even never set an eyes on a bicycle that you ever owned or your father. All you knew was to depend about Route 11. We used to call it Route 11 those days. You know, because when you go, it's like you make 11, Route 11. And you depended on Route 11 to go to work, depended on Route 11 to go to work, depended on Route 11 to go to church, and you walked kilometers to go to church, and you was never late. Do you know? You are the first one, and some of you maybe were playing the kalingalinga. I can see maybe some was playing the drums, and he was never late. And you depended on Route 11. And actually, to be honest with you, you didn't even have a shower. You had the water you put on the basin. Did you forget about those things? It was to be called passport. Yeah, some of you, especially, yeah, I remember that. Some of you didn't even have water. You had to go to the river to fetch the water. And you had to make sure that there was water on a Sunday morning to wake up on Sunday early in the morning so that you could have that passport. And just wear the one dress that you had. And you did, even the iron box that you had to make charcoal in the morning. You remember how you were with the Kathin Kurutera? So that the charcoal can get... You know, why do we forget those things? And we used to serve God even during those days. The Lord used to move in a mighty way. What happened? What happened, church? What happened to me? I used to go spend days in a cave that didn't have no cement. And all that you could see was the voices of bats and dust. If anybody came out of that cave, all you could see was eyes, you know, because he blinked. Everything was covered with the dust. And we would spend there like 3 days and you'd come fire and you're speaking with all the tongues and Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, every demon that would come your way, you'd rebuke them and they would run away. We used to serve him. Where is that consistency, church? That even when we didn't have anything, we serve God now that we have it. Now that you have a nice car that does, you just all you have to do is, actually some of you have cars that you can even start from your bedroom so that it can start air conditioning the air. You know, you just press a button, the car is just, you know, you go take breakfast, you go take a shower. By the time you get there, there is conducive air within the car so that you can go to work or to church. You know, some of you have actually remote things in the house so that you just press a button and things are done for you. You put tea in the microwave, just 2 minutes, it's ready. You know? Now, you know, we have now. We got it now. We got it now. We don't even want to remember. But I look back into David. He never forgot his humble beginnings. He never forgot how he walked with God. The experience of him killing a bear was so real. The experience of him killing a lion was so real. And now he is in a place of power. But he never forgets. He never forgot what he was in those days. He had every power. Are you listening to me, church? He was consistent. Is there going to be a person who is going to hold God and say, no matter how much money is going to be in the bank, no matter what kind of a car I drive, no matter my address, or no matter what city I live in, I will still call the name of the Lord. I will still humble myself before the Lord. I will still kneel down and call the name of him who has redeemed me. I will still call on his name. People used to know you as a prayer warrior. What do they know you today as? As a CEO of some company who doesn't even bother about the ministry things? Let me tell you. There could be some of you here, I included, who God shown favor through somebody. You didn't have anything. Maybe somebody just came and gave your dad some money so that you could go to school. Through struggle, God provided for you. Huh? Can I surprise you? Can I surprise you, church? That you guys are rich. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell them, I am really rich? Now, if you don't believe it, just say it because I'm going to show you how rich you are. Say, you are rich. You're rich. You may not have the dollar in your pocket right now, but that is temporary. There are people who don't even have a hope of even getting a... Do you know, almost 90% of the world survives with less than $100 a month? Actually, $100 is too much, even in other countries. Some of them are here, they survive with $1 a month. And the cost of living in those lands is also very expensive. People don't even have the way of even how to have means of how to provide for their children, let alone even take them to school. Let alone even a place to sleep. And God showed you favor. He showed you favor. You know, he gave you a way of thinking. And you went to the embassy. And the consulate stamped and gave you a visa. How many people do you think want to come to the United States and they don't even have a visa? No, church, but seriously. How many people do you think today, even today, file up to the American embassy and they don't even get a visa? There are many and they are disappointed. Some of them, you know, be willing. Maybe they would come here and change the whole setup of their family. But they have never been. But you received a visa. You can go to work. You can get into a car. You know, you can get into a McDonald's. You can get into an Albertsons. And these things now have become normal to you. This is the new normal now. But let me caution you, church, that when you have come to a place of elevation, do not forget where God took you from. Because the way up is the way down. Are you listening to me? May God help me so that when I have money in the bank or when God gives me favor, I will not forget those days of when I used to peddle mananasi in the streets. I can never forget that. And like I was in the cave blinking, dust used to hover over around me trying to make it for my family. I cannot forget the favor of God bringing me from nothingness to somewhere. And that's why you should not turn a blind eye to somebody down there who may have helped you. You may not really go back to some people who really helped you to be where you are, but can you at least be thoughtful a little bit about people who are struggling? Can you identify a few people that you can know? Even send them $50. I know it's going to be a sacrifice, but when the Lord looks at the gesture, he's going to open up the floodgates of heaven. Let us not be people who forget about where we have come from. Let us not forget about people who came into our lives and helped us to be where we are. We can never afford to forget about those people. Let us forget about family members who are still struggling back in Africa. Have we turned a blind eye to those people? How often do we call them to just even encourage them, even if we don't send them money? David never forgot what happened. And he said, is there anyone?
for the sake of Jonathan, who showed me favor when I was in trouble. Is there anyone? And Ziba shows up. And he said, I think there's a son to Jonathan. And he was lame. And he lives in another country. And he said, can you go fetch him up? And when Ziba gets into there, the last, I think he recognizes that this was one of the servants, or at least maybe the Nash recognized Ziba to be one of the servants of his grandfather. He said, oh God. He said, he came with a message, says, David needs you right now. And you know what ran into Mephibosheth? He said, oh God, he found me out now. Now I'm dead. I'm a dead horse. I'm nothing. This is, why did you even bring me to this country? You should have killed me. The man was so incapacitated, he could not even run away. I know there are some of us here, you could be in a position whereby you're incapacitated. You cannot even run. You cannot even think. You're in a place whereby you're tied up. You're facing a hard rock and a hard place, and you're stuck there, and you cannot do nothing. But let me tell you, hope is not dead yet. God is still thinking about your life. God is still thinking about your circumstance. It is only a question of time. And I thank God for Paul, who says, I thank God, all things worketh together for them that love the Lord and according to who have been called into his own purpose. Don't give up, or don't think that everything is done. Until God says it's done, it is not done. And Ziba comes and tells him, and he tells him, you're needed by David. The man could not even wake up. My God. A son of a, he was actually a prince. In fact, elsewhere it says that he had a name, a royal name. And you know what Mephibosheth means? It means a mouth that is a son of shame. A son of shame. That was not the name that he had when he was in the palace. Actually, in the palace, he had a you know, like the way they have a prince, Charles or Prince something. He had a name that was connected to royalty. And the name in the palace that he had, one who is against Baal, prophets Baal. In other words, he had a royal name. And so, the army or the soldiers of Israel comes and pick up this man who was in pain. He was paralyzed and he was lame, and they put him in the chariot. And it was an excruciating journey. Think about him. He's thinking, okay, why couldn't they kill me? I know I'm going to die. And we cut a long story short, he found himself in the presence of David. God. No wonder God spoke about that and said, a man after my own heart. The love that David showed Mephibosheth was not just, you know, just ordinary love. Think about this. This is a king, the king of Israel, and the guy who's presented him is a cabbage. I mean, literally, he is paralyzed. He doesn't have any form. He doesn't have any physicality. And when they drop him, he's just dropping there, and that's his limb. And David looks at him. In fact, the Bible says that when he was in the presence of David, he was just waiting for the next moment for the sword, to hear the sword just cut his head. And he said, David said, I'm here. I will show you kindness for the sake of your father, because he showed me kindness when I was about to die. He was my friend. He told me where to run and when to do all these things. I'm not doing this for anything, but I remember in my nothingness, I remember in the days of my trouble that your father, who is now befallen, he showed me favor, and I'm going to show you kindness for the sake of your father. Glory be to Jesus. I'm going to show you kindness for the sake of your father. And he looked up. The Bible says that he woke up. He struggled a little bit to look at David. He could not believe what he was hearing. And he says this, who am I that you'd care? Man, you know, he was in a place of agony, a place of desperation, a place of last resort. He was in his 11th hour. He wouldn't even think anything like this would happen. And this is exactly what he said. Who am I? I'm just a dog that you think about me. You see, there's sometimes when you're so spooled up by trouble, you're cornered everywhere you look is trouble. You look on the south, there's trouble. You look at the east, maybe the kids are bringing trouble. You look on the left, the spouse is bringing trouble. Your work is bringing trouble. And you kind of like tightened. You cannot move because there's trouble everywhere. And he said, who am I that you'd care for me, a dog like me? Now, I want you to think about David would have looked at this son and said, oh, what am I going to do with this lame guy? He's not even, who is he? I need people who are handsome in my palace. I need people who are well-to-do, people who can come and, you know, who are well-to-do. But you know what happened? David told him that every land, every piece of land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, I will give it back to you. Lame as you are, handicapped as you are, nothing as you might think yourself as you are, today is a day of rejoicing, because what you thought was nothing, what you thought was your end, the day has begun. You become, not only am I going to give you back what belonged to your father Saul, but you're going to sit in a place of honor on my table. In other words, he said, you're going to be like my son. Jesus. Don't you love that? Somebody who was lame and incapacitated, and he was nothing. He had resigned himself to death. He thought that this was the end of my life because my father, my grandfather was gone and my daddy was also killed. But let me tell you, that's why you should not disregard any relationship that you have, and you need not to disregard anybody who comes into your life, because it might be for the sake of your other generation. It might be that somebody will show kindness to your children just because you shown kindness to somebody. Do not point a finger at anybody, because you never know what God is working out behind the scenes. Nobody is able to see his future in a simple one glance. Your future is not an event, but it's a process. And one who is able to see that process is God alone. And so when he takes you through that process, it is important to value anybody who comes into your life, because you never know that somebody might show kindness to your son when you're long gone. And so Mephibosheth, the guy who is Ziba, I think that was his name, he had 15 sons, and David told him, now listen, you are his grandfather's servant, but I want you now to be a servant of this lame kid. Can you think about that? Somebody who was the last of all. He was at the point of death. I mean, he looked at himself like a dead dog. How least can you see yourself? I mean, if you can just, ID yourself as a dead dog, then you've looked at the end of your life, right? It's like you're nothing. And now he commands and says, Ziba, with all your sons and all the 15 servants that you have, I want you to serve Mephibosheth. And I want you to till the lands that will belong to his grandfather and bring his produce to him. Think about it. Are you thinking about it? Are you seeing it? It is not over until God says it's over. I don't know who I'm talking to you here. You might be having a lameness in a certain area that you have never even mentioned to anybody, or you cannot even be able to have the boldness to mention to anybody. You might be put in a squeezed place whereby you have resigned and seen yourself, oh God, there's no end, there's nowhere to me. There's no any way for me. Everything, I've tried this other thing, it failed. I've tried this, it has failed. My marriage is falling apart. My children are going astray. Every job I try to apply, I can't even get anywhere. Oh God, I'm just like a dead dog. Hello, it's not over until God says it's over. And as long as you're faithfully, God will remember. It might be the kindness that Jonathan showed David, that God remembered it, and he remembered his son Mephibosheth, even in his handicaps. My message to us this evening, or this afternoon, is that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, and to those who have been called over his purpose. Everything works up together. And I don't know whether I was telling you the other day to not look at the situation right now. The situation might be dull. It might be speaking money, no money in your bank. Every check you write is being returned. Every job, people are against you, and they've risen against you in your place of work. Your children are rebelling. There's no money. You're squeezed at every corner. Let me tell you, it's just an event. That's a simple thing, but it's a process. Maybe in a few months we'll be looking at you, just because God is making connections behind the scenes, and we'll not even recognize what has happened. all of a sudden. Praise be to God. Do not complain. The thing is, God wants us to keep on praising Him. Regardless of the things that we are going through, keep on praising Him. Keep on hoping on Him. Keep on trusting Him, because when we do, He will never fail us. Oh God, He will never fail us. There are certain things that when you mention to the Lord, you've been mentioning them to the Lord for several years, and nothing seemed to be working on. The Bible says that one day is just like a thousand days before the Lord, right? One day is like a thousand days to God. So maybe half a day is like 500 days, maybe 1 minute. 1 minute is like a day. And it could be vice versa. I'm not worried. Listen, I want to conclude now. There was this minister that we used to serve with back in the day, back in my country. And this guy, you know, everything seemed to be going good for us, you know. I mean, the pastors, you know, in the church, you know, the way you'd think that by the standards of the day, of course, you know, every one of us was doing well, you know, we had good jobs, and there was this guy. He was just a teacher. It's not that he was doing bad. He was also doing good, but this is what he used to tell us. Pastor Tony, I'm not even scared that you have a car. You know, having a car then is like, you know, you have it back in Kenya, right? But this guy, he didn't have a bicycle. He used to actually walk to church, but he said, you know what? I'll keep doing what I do to serve the Lord. You know? And I know Pastor George was... He would come and he would serve the Lord. We used to be music directors with him, and he used to get late. I mean, and he had to board private means, and we had to drive in the church. And he said, Pastor, I'm not even jealous about you. I will serve the Lord. I will keep on serving the Lord. I'll pay my tithes. I will be in the meetings where the meetings are supposed to be there. I'll just serve the Lord. This is exactly what he told us. And everything, let me tell you, George's wife was a singer. I know, probably you know what I'm talking about. George's wife was a singer. And she started singing, and God just began to bless them. Let me tell you. People who were just serving the Lord just regularly, never missed, and they were just committed to the Lord, they just struck up, their songs were higher in the chart, and they were known all over the country. And now George began to he was creative. He had a business going. He had a shop, you know, selling music equipment. And to cut a long story short, this man who used to tell us that I am not jealous of you, today as I'm talking to you, he's a millionaire. The guy actually quit teaching. He runs, actually, I think he has computer schools. He has music shops. He has a recording studio. I mean, talk about it. And when I look at George, and I remember the things that he used to speak to me, and where God has taken him, it teaches me, it's an experience that teaches me, never point a finger at anybody, or never look down at anybody, because now you see them, now you don't see them. Now you don't see them, now you see them. That's how it works. The key is serving the Lord, serving Him. Serving Him, regardless whether things, when I have no money, I will still go to the house of the Lord, and I'll lift up my hands to serve Him. Whether things are going astray, I will still go to the house of the Lord. I will not be inhibited. I will still go to the house of the Lord. I will do what He tells me to do. I will read the Bible. I'll wake up in the morning and I'll have communion with Him. I will talk to Him. I will humble myself before Him. Let me tell you, even if it doesn't happen to me, I know my generation, my children, God is not, and nothing that goes to waste. None of my words will go to waste. Praise the Lord. If it doesn't happen to me, I am praying to the Lord that it happens to me in my lifetime. But if it doesn't happen to me, I am surely certain that it will happen to my children. Glory be to Jesus. Some of the things we do not do for our own sake. See, that's the thing that we need to know, church, that some of the things we may do, some of us, listen, church, some of you, God is taking you places because your parents honored God. You know, they had this crop, they were growing maize, but they were so keen that one bag they'll take to the house of the Lord, or they'll sell it and give it to the men of God, or give it to the work of the ministry. That's why you are here today, because they did something for the Lord, and that's why you're sustained. They may have been gone, or they may still be struggling, but now you're way better than them just because of what they did. Are you listening to me? So there are some lessons that we get out of this text. Do not forget where you've come from. Do not look down on yourself. You might be perplexed. You might be riding on high seas and everything's against you. But the game is not over, because God will not let any word from your mouth fall to the ground. It might not really be happening right now, but in a question of time, somebody will be linked up with you. As long as you stay creative, as long as you stay focused on the word of the Lord, it is surely shall come to pass. And we will look at you and say, hasn't that woman, hasn't that man walked with God? Look at what God has done. He never let his own down. Look at what God, where God is taking him. Oh my God. Just because of honoring God with your life. Stand on your feet right now. Stand on your feet. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for giving us this day, Lord. We can come to this house that is called by your name, O God. I thank you for every one of your child who is standing in your presence right now. I pray that you shall reach out to them in the name of Jesus. Touch them, Lord, only way you can. There may be some of them who are in tight places, O God. You are the God of the tight places. And when there seem not to be anybody recognizing or reckoning where they are at this time, you know, Father, because nothing is hidden from any sight. Father, I pray that we shall keep serving. We shall keep trusting you. We shall keep hoping. And it shall be intentional in the name of Jesus. And just as you did for this young kid, oh Lord, 5 years and he was paralyzed. And in his later years, just because his father honored a man of God, you remembered him, Lord. Thank you. May it happen to every one of us here, God. In the name of Jesus. That when we've been called to serve the Lord, we shall not turn back. We shall not look aside. But we shall be focused to serve you. For you hold the reward in your hand, oh Father. Even when nobody may come to pat us on the back to tell us, well done, son, for what you've done. But we know that you see everything. Father God, I pray that these children shall be serving children. Children who are dedicated to the services of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus. I pray for some of them who might be sick in their bodies. Lord, stretch forth your hand. The Bible tells me that you sent your word and healed their diseases. In the name of Jesus. For those that are in trouble, it's just a question of time. You're going to show up in their situation and everything is going to change. Thank you, Lord, because you've said in your word, you'll never withhold anything good to your children. And Father, we stand hoping and standing on that scripture. That even though we might be perplexed and tightened up, that soon you're coming through for our deliverance. I thank you, Heavenly Father, and I give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody who loves him, say a big amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. You may have your seats in the presence of God.